You know, I've been teaching in Psalm 119, and I love this psalm. It's my favourite psalm. And I think I've said this before, but I generally like to read this psalm in one go. I know it's a long one, and it... And it takes a while to go through it. But this is packed. This psalm is packed with a lot of golden nuggets, if that's the right word. You know, the psalmist describes it as a treasure chest in one place. And he says, I just like to get into your word. You know, it contains treasure. It contains riches. And I rejoice in your word. You know, it's like a man finding a lot of gold and a lot of precious things. You know, in each one of these nuggets, each one of these 176 verses is packed with revelation and information about the Word of God. You know, we finished last Sunday night by just taking a very brief look at the opening verses to this psalm. Actually, was looking at verses 1 to 24. We looked very briefly at them, but what I want to do, God willing, over the next 3 weeks, as the Lord allows me, and I want to try and, in the next 3 weeks, wrap up this series of teaching on this psalm. But I want to look at three subjects, God willing, and that's about walking in the Word, which we're going to just cover cover tonight and look at. And then I want us to look at how we can delight ourselves in the Word. And then finally, the last of the topics is how we can meditate in the Word. Walk in the Word, delight in the Word, and meditate in the Word. And I want to do, you know, I want to stick with these first 24 verses for this teaching. And what we're going to do is go to some other verses in this psalm and just a few other scriptures to give depth to what we're looking at. But we're going to read to start with the opening two verses, verses 1 and 2. You know, we've read these quite a few times over the last few weeks. And it says this, the scriptures say, Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. You know, there's blessing when we walk in the Word. You know, this psalm begins very much like the very first psalm. You know, the opening lines to this hymn book, this prayer book, this song book. You know, this book and the opening lines of it in Psalm 1 verse 1 says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but whose delight is in... Let me actually read it rather than try and quote it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Now blessed is the man who walks and who delights in the Word of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, it says here, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed. You know, what a great word, blessed. You know, if we want blessing in our life, then we must learn, like the psalmist, like the other great patriarchs of the Bible, the other men of God. We've got to learn to delight ourselves and, you know, embrace the Word of God. Now, I want to make a point here when I talk about blessing. And when the scripture here talks, it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the Lord. He's not talking here about financial blessing. He's not talking about material blessing. Although God may impart that. You know, as we are obedient to His Word, as we follow His Word, as we walk in line with His Word, God cannot but give us those types of things, those blessings. But what we're talking about here is, specifically in these verses, spiritual blessing, spiritual satisfaction, joy, purpose, significance, hope. You know, God's Word gives us hope. You know, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans tells us in Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. You know, hope is based on faith. Or faith is based on hope, whichever way around you want to put it. You know, you really can't separate the two, hope and faith. But we get by delighting in God's Word. You know, one of the blessings we have is salvation. You know, that comes from our delight in the Word of God. And we find all these by walking in God's Word, or walking in obedience to God's Word. You know, we heard this morning, Pastor touched on it, about being obedient to God's Word. And we read that scripture, if I can recall it, from Isaiah 28. And it was the last verse of the chapter, verse 29. It says, and he's talking about all the some of the blessings there, you know, about planting the wheat and the barley and the cumin. And he says, this also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. And we started reading this morning in that chapter in Isaiah 28. We started reading verse 23. It says, give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. You know, pay attention. Delight yourself in what God says. Why? Because it will bring blessing. It will impart blessing to you as you walk in it and are obedient to it. Now, we're going to come on to obedience in a minute, God willing. But in this psalm, in Psalm 119, you know, many blessings are listed throughout this psalm. And they're all coupled to delighting ourselves in the law of God, in the Word of God, walking in His Word, being obedient to it, embracing God's Word. And those blessings are these. We read in, because we've just touched on it in Isaiah, we read in verse 105, you know, that there's guidance. Guidance can be found in God's Word. You know, your Word is a lamp to my feet, the psalmist says, and a light to my path. In verse 73, it talks about life. You know, the blessing of life. In verse 97, it talks about wisdom. You know, we can receive wisdom from God. Do you know what wisdom is? The world, in one sense, craves wisdom. They want to be wise, and they think themselves wise. You know, and you ask any worldly person, you know, how do they define the word wise? They will talk about some scientist or some philosopher that seems to have all the answers. But the scripture talks about wisdom as, you know, taking what God says and acting upon it. That's wisdom. Jesus said, the one who hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a wise man. Not a foolish man. The foolish man disregards what God's Word says. The foolish man says there's no God. Another scripture tells us. But the wise man hears what God says and puts it into practice. He walks in the word. Now notice what it says here in verse 1. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, the blameless, those who follow after the word of God. You know, those who are, you know, God's law teaches us how we should love him, teaches us to love our neighbor. God's word teaches us to do justly, to love mercy, to be holy because God is holy. You know, the word teaches us that. Now, the psalmist here, he, and we'll see it as we go through, you know, he talks about loving the word of God. How I love your testimonies, how I love your law, how I love your statutes. You know, the Apostle Paul himself also said that he delighted in the law of God. You can read that in Romans 7, 22. You know, he delighted in the law of God. You know, we said it last week, and I'm going to say it again tonight, that God's word is the basis for living righteously. If we want to live righteously, we need to follow what God says. Now, this leaves us with a seemingly impossible standard. How can anybody live up to and walk perfectly in line with the Word of God? We all make mistakes. We all find ourselves from time to time slipping and sinning and going astray. And we have to come back in repentance, and we come back to God. What we need to understand, and this is an important point, because God's word is the foundation. God's word is the standard. God's word is the benchmark. And as believers in Jesus, we understand, we know that there was only one that lived according to God's word perfectly, without sin, without fault. And through him, and in him, and because of him, we can now live it out as well. Not perfectly, because we won't, if we try and live it perfectly, we will make a mistake. But faithfully, and that's the key. If we are faithful to God, now God knows our heart. Now, none of us want to, but any true believer in God, in Jesus, will not want to walk away from the Word of God, will not want to step out of line with the Word of God. But we do. Yet, we know when we do, we know what to do because of what the Word tells us. You know, God's Word, and God's Word always does this, whether you're reading the Old Testament or the New Testament, God's Word always points to Jesus. You know, in the Old Testament, it was looking forward to the time when, as Paul puts it in Romans, I think it might be Galatians, look until the seed should come. Looking forward to that time when the seed, talking about Jesus. You know, in the New Testament, is looking, I say looking back, it's going back to the cross, going back to the sacrifice that was made. But it's pointing us to Jesus. You know, Jesus empowers us to keep his word. But we're talking about failing and walking away from God. But if we do fail, we know we've got an advocate in Jesus as well. When we come in repentance, we say we're sorry. When we know that we failed, one thing we must take notice of, that if we fail, God will not crush us. Because very often we feel like that. You know, we feel we've let God down, we feel that God, and that's the image that the non-believing world will portray, that God is this elderly figure, you know, that's ready to beat us and grind us and crush us the moment we make a mistake. And they have that image because they don't know him. Because God doesn't do that. God doesn't crush us like that because he's already crushed Jesus on our behalf. Isaiah 53:5 tells us that. You know, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. He was crushed for our iniquities. Jesus fulfilled God's law for us. Because we couldn't. There's no way we could fulfill the law in our own merits or our own standing. But Jesus did it for us. And now, by the Holy Spirit, he empowers us to walk in accordance with God's word. Not necessarily perfectly, as I said, but faithfully. We can be faithful to God's word. And if we sin, we quickly know what to do, to repent and come back to him. Another thing we see in these few verses here, and we see it and we've touched on it before, and I'm going to just quickly touch on it again. We find in verse 9 here, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. You know, the scriptures and this verse here shows us that God's word has the ability to change us, to cleanse us. You know, as we allow God's Spirit to work through us, he changes us. How can a young man cleanse his way? What a question the psalmist could ask. How can a young man cleanse his way? Well, this question was not directed towards the world. For the world, for those that are outside of Jesus, if they want to cleanse their way, there's only one way they can do that, and that's come to Jesus himself. He's the one that will cleanse them of their sin. But this question is directed here, first and foremost, to this young man. He's asking this question, you know, how can I cleanse my way? This young man, this young writer. But it's also directed to us as the people of God. You know, how can we cleanse our way? Well, let's take a look at some of the other verses in this psalm, which express this desire for living righteously, living purely. In verse 10, the very next verse, he makes this statement. He says, oh, let me not wander from your commandments. There's an old hymn, and one of the verses in this hymn says this. It says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. You know, and that verse there just captures very often we're prone to wander from God. You know, we are so eager at times. The flesh wants to go away from God. It wants to come away from the Word of God. And have you noticed whenever, I know pastors share this, and it happens to me, like, it must happen to me every day. The moment I try and get in and read the Word of God, my eyes become very heavy. And I find myself dozing. Or something else will happen. You know, you sit down to read and to pray, and some distraction, the phone will ring. Someone wants your urgent attention. You know, and the flesh craves those distractions. Why? Because it knows there's cleansing and healing in the Word of God. There's life in the Word of God. We're prone to wander. You know, let me not wander, the psalmist here says. In verse 36, he puts it like this. He says, incline my heart to your testimonies. That takes effort, to incline our heart to his word. We've got to do something ourselves. You know, God just isn't going to drop his word into our lives. No, we've actually got to incline ourselves. We've actually got to take time and get into the word of God. In verse 37, the next verse, he says this, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Ah, how many times do things distract us? And in the grand scheme of things, when you look at it, they're worthless. They don't do us any good, any value. There's no lasting, eternal value in those things that we are directed towards. Now, they may not necessarily be wrong. You know, I like to watch television as much as any person, particularly when there's a program that I like to watch. But when it's all over and you've watched the story and you've looked at that program for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour maybe, or if you've watched a movie for an hour and a half, 2 hours, what do you have at the end of it? Nothing. But if we can just spend a little time in the Word of God, quality time in the Word of God, not rushed, ah, how much blessing and benefit can we get from it? Again, Pastor touched on that this morning. In verse 112, the psalmist here says, he said, I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes. I've done it. In 133, he prays a prayer. And he says, let no iniquity have dominion over me. You know, direct my steps by your word. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. You know, let your word have preeminence in my life. Don't let iniquity dominate. Don't let sin dominate. Don't let these worthless things dominate. Don't let things that are of no eternal value dominate our lives. Allow God's word to be, and God is Jesus, and our worship of him be the preeminent things. Do you know, we make time for work. We make time to eat. We make time to watch television. We make time to go and visit someone. We make time to go to this place, that place. We make time for everything. But how much time do we make for God and his word? You know, let that have the preeminence in our life. So the psalmist asks this question, how can a young man cleanse his way? Well, what's the answer? In verse 9 it says this, by taking heed according to your word. By taking heed, by keeping watch, by guarding our hearts and lives with the Word of God. Did you know God's Word tells us what sin is? And once we know what sin is, that's an important step to being cleansed. Because if we know what sin is, we know what we need to be cleansed from. We know what God's Word needs to do for us. Do you know, our culture, society today, is very confused about what sin is. You don't have to go very far. Just read a newspaper, watch a news report, or listen to a news report, and you'll find that our society and our culture now is very tolerant of sin. To the point where it doesn't even know what sin is. You know, sin is graded by degrees of seriousness. It doesn't matter if you tell a white lie. If it's a lie, it's sin. But you have to do this now to get by and... If it's sin, it's sin. whether it's serious or whether it's not serious, it's still sin. It's all serious to God. We've even classified sin and given it medical names. You hear people talking about someone who's committed an atrocious crime, and you'll hear them say that, well, it's some type of sickness or some type of syndrome that they've got, or a condition. It's sin. You know, let's tell it as it is. Let's not colour it with pretty names. Do you know, even, and this is perhaps the worst of them all, sin is celebrated. You know, Paul wrote to the Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 32. And look at what Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Paul here is writing to the church, and he's the verses immediately preceding this verse listing all types of different sin. Talks about unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, and the list goes on. And then in verse 32, Paul writes these words. He says, who knowing, talking about those that committed these things. And Paul's writing here, let's not say, he's not talking about the world here, he's writing to people in the church. This letter is addressed to the saints in Rome. The church in Rome. And these are people, they are in the church and they are performing all these atrocious acts. And he says, these people, he says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. They know what God's word says about these things. And they not only do the same, but they approve of those who practice them. In other words, they are celebrating, they are condoning what others do. And we see that all a lot in today's society. The church. Now, I'm not talking about the world. You know, the world has they perhaps have some excuse. But the church, who has no excuse, condoning sin, condoning homosexuality, condoning abortion, adultery, condoning all these things. You know, that's okay. We'll make you a bishop. Approving of sin. Celebrating sin. Let's go back to what it is. It's not something with a fancy name. It's not some condition. It is sin. And how can we cleanse ourselves from it? By taking heed to what God's word says. You know, if we follow God's word, we won't go down these lines. God's word is quite clear on these issues. You know, God uses his word to change us. How can he cleanse us? He changes us. He changes us from the inside out. It starts on the inside, and it begins to affect what's on the outside. You know, I like the way God works. You know, when you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror and you have a shave and have a wash, you cleanse the outside of your body. But God starts with the inside and cleanses what's inside. You know, and that permeates through our body and is shown on the outside. God uses his word to change us. God uses his word to cleanse us. What does the psalmist say in verse 11? He says, your word I've hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Your word I've hidden. What's that mean, your word I've hidden? Your word. I've stored up your word in my heart. I've laid it up. I've deposited it in my heart. And you can only do that by reading it, studying it, listening, coming to church, coming to studies, getting around where people are preaching and proclaiming the word of God. That's how we store it up in our hearts. And your word is hidden, stored in our hearts, so that we might not sin against you. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit quickens a word that we've read. And he said, and you get that in your conscience, you think, ah, it's the Holy Spirit talking. He's keeping me from doing something. Keeping me from sin. Cleansing my way. Purifying my walk with him. Just look at that verse 11. Look what it says here. Notice who we sin against when we sin. We sin against that I might not sin against you. We sin against God. How do we keep from sinning against God? Your word I've hidden in my heart. It's your word that keeps me from sin. Where should it be hidden? In our hearts, in our lives. You know, the scripture is on the inside of me. Well, that's where it should be, on the inside of each and every one of us. Not in a book, which is very often left on a table or on a shelf. Now, I've got several editions of the scripture, which I use for reference. And I've noticed some of the editions I've got, or some of the translations I've got, are getting a little bit dusty. There's no dust on this one. It's used. I use it. Actually, this is a fairly new Bible. I got it just before coming to Malta here last year. And so it's still in very good condition. But the Bible I replaced had no cover. They were a bit like yours, Pastor. You know, sellotape in it, holding the pages in. I thought it was time to change. Because I preached from it a few times, and as you're preaching, you find the page flutters out. So I thought, it's time for me to get a new Bible to minister and preach from. So this is still... They used to say this. They used to say that a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. You know, you could tell the people that leave their Bibles on the shelf or folded up and it's not open from day to day, because their lives are a demonstration of that. They never know what God says on a matter. They've always got problems. They're always needing prayer. They're always needing ministry. They're always needing help. Let me tell you a quick story I heard once. It was about a young boy, a young lad. He'd left school, a young man really. He was on his way to university. And he didn't really care that much for God. And although his parents were very... devout Christians, they loved God, they served God. But this young man really, he wasn't really sold out for Jesus. And so as he left for university, his mother gave him a Bible and said, "Son, if you read this book, it'll help you through your university years." And the boy says, "Okay, Mum, I'll take it, I'll read it." A few months later, the young man got into trouble. And he phoned home and says, "Mum," he says, "I've got a problem, this has happened. And she said, "Have you been reading your Bible?" And he says, "Yes, Mum." I've been reading my Bible. Now, he hadn't been reading it, he just wanted to make her feel better. And she said, okay, he says, we'll pray for you. And then a few months later, he's on the phone again, he's got problems, this time he can't afford this, he can't afford that, you know, he's got books he's got to pay for, things are falling apart, and he's got to pay for accommodation. Mom, I've got problems. She said, have you been reading your Bible? And he says, yes, Mom, I've been reading my Bible. And she challenged him on it. He says, have you really been reading your Bible? He says, yes, Mom, I've been reading. Every day I've read. And she says, don't lie to me, son. Have you been reading your Bible? And he says, no, Mom. He says, I haven't. And she says, I knew it. And he said, how did you know it? He says, she says, because tucked in the pages of the Bible was enough money to keep you. But we make time for everything but the Word. You know, so God's Word should be on the inside of us, not kept in a book, not on a tablet. You know what God said? He said, I'm going to write my laws on the tables of their hearts. It's not going to be on a stone tablet or in a book or on an electrical device that we might have now. You know, our Word should be in our hearts. Jesus said everything starts with the heart. Not this physical blood pump that we have. Not this thing that keeps us alive. But, you know, the very core of our being. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's in the heart. You know, keep your heart, the scripture says. For out of it proceed all the issues of life. How do we keep it? With the Word of God. Keep it with the Word of God. Just a very brief look at Psalm 119. You can't help but notice what it actually says. It says it several times in the first few verses. It says it in verse 8, verse 17. It says it in verse 21 and verse 22. And throughout the psalm. And it's this. The emphasis is put on keeping or obeying the Word of God. Verse 4. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. What was the other verse said? Verse 8. I will keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. Verse 17. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Verse 21. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Verse 22. Remove me from reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. You know, there in verse 21, it talks about the negative. You know, God rebuking the proud, the cursed, those who stray from the commandments. You know, obviously, if we keep the commandments, then we will not be rebuked. The opposite is true. And it all happens through Christ, through Jesus, who empowers us to be obedient. We can't be obedient in our own merit. We need the help and the enabling of the Holy Spirit to keep the Word of God. Verse 17 says, deal bountifully with me. Or in other words, he's saying, be gracious to me so that I might keep your Word. You know, as we pray, we should pray for grace to keep the Word of God, to be obedient. That God will just enable us to be obedient to what he says. It's important to remember that we express our love through obedience. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. James writes in chapter 1, verse 22, he says that we should be a doer of the word and not hearers only. You know, when those of us that have children, or had children that were young, you know, if we told our children to go and tidy their bedroom, say, go and clean your bedroom, go and tidy up. And then a bit later on in the day we asked them, you know, have you tidied up? Now, if our child came to us and said, well, I've memorized what you said. You told me to tidy my room. I've memorized it. I've committed it to memory. I could put it into Greek. I could translate it into another language. And we've decided that as children tonight, we're going to do a small group study and talk about what you said. Now, that might be quite impressive. But it's just hearing and learning. It's not doing. If we want to be obedient, our children are going to be obedient, they've got to tidy their room and do what we ask them to do. And it's the same with us and God. No, we can listen, we can memorize it, we can say it, so we can learn it parrot fashion, we can spout it, we can know what it says in Greek and Hebrew, we can study it, we can talk about it, but if we don't do it, it doesn't do us any good. We've got to be obedient to what God says. Then quickly, just to wrap this up and to conclude tonight, we've got to pray for God's help to understand His Word. How can we be obedient to what God says if we don't understand? You know, and this is a repeated theme throughout this psalm. You know, asking God to help us understand. I'll quickly go through and give you the verses, and if you want to write them down, you can do it. God willing, in a few weeks, this will be on the church website and you can get all the scriptures there as well. But in verse 12, the psalmist prays, teach me your statutes. Teach me your statutes. You know, I want to learn. You know, give me understanding. Teach me your word. In verse 18, he says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. In verse 27, he says, make me understand the way of your precepts. Make me understand the way of your precepts. In verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Then in verse 34, and we see it repeated in 73, in 125, in 144, and 169, he prays, give me understanding. Give me understanding. And then, like we read in verse 12, teach me your statutes. That's repeated as well in verse 64, 68, 124. 135 and 171. Teach me your statutes. If you missed any of those and whatnot, I can give you the scriptures afterwards if you want to take a note of them. But these are wonderful prayers to pray whenever we come to the Word of God. You know, teach me your Word. Give me understanding. Give me enlightenment. You know, that I might, you know, hear and understand your ways. I want to learn of you, God. But our prayers must be more than that. You know, help me as well to do what you tell me to do. And then finally, we should faithfully declare God's word. That's what it says here in verse 13. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. You know, the psalmist not only has a desire to learn and to be obedient, but he wants to share it with others as well. My lips and your mouth, he says in this verse. Do you know what he's really saying in effect is this? May my mouth faithfully proclaim what you've said. You know, I made that promise to God a few years ago that the things he showed me from his word, I would impart and teach to others. And it was from that promise, that promise I made to God that God began to use me and develop my ministry for teaching, because I promised that whatever he showed me, I would declare and proclaim to somebody else. You know, the psalmist here later says in verse 46, I will speak of your testimonies before kings. I will declare your testimonies, speak of them before the kings, before the authorities, before the governments, that we'll be people of the word. Jesus told us, and we see it in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, to go into the world, to make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Everyone is to teach in some capacity, whether it's just passing on something that we've got from the Word of God, whether it's through a proclamation from a pulpit, teaching. We've all got something to say and to share. We should talk about God's Word when we're at home, when we're away from home. Deuteronomy tells us that, you know, we're to talk about the Word. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. Teach it to your family. Take every opportunity to declare it and speak about what God says. Be a reproducer, not a receiver. That's a good statement. Be a reproducer, not just a receiver. We've got to receive to enable to give it out, but if we're only receivers and not doers, we deceive ourselves, James tells us. And then finally, the psalmist declares this in Psalm 96. Declare it among the nations. Declare it. You know, declare the Word of God. Declare the things that God is showing us. That's how we walk in the Word. Walking in His Word. That we know the blessing of it. We experience the sin-killing power of walking in the Word. We obey by walking in the Word. We pray for understanding so that we can walk in the Word of God. And we faithfully declare it as we walk in it. So be blessed. Be encouraged. You know, God willing, next week we will continue with that, and we're going to look at delighting ourselves in the Word of God. Amen.